Amen. It is well with my soul. Well, I hope it is well with your soul this morning, and I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. If you were here, thank you. If you were here on Christmas Eve, that was just a wonderful time of worship and praise and just a wonderful time to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And as you notice, we had a lot of folks here, and that was a wonderful time. So as we come to God's Word this morning, what I want to do is just come before the Lord in prayer and just ask that the work that He began in people's hearts on Christmas Eve would just continue, and then also pray for those in our body who are traveling or are sick, and just let's come before the Lord and spend some time in prayer. Ask Him to prepare our hearts as well. Let's pray. Father, we come before You with full hearts because of the gift of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for that gift. We thank You for this wonderful Christmas season that we can just celebrate the birth of our Savior. And He is our Savior. Thank You that Your Word says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So thank You for that amazing gift. Thank You for all of the people who are here on Christmas Eve. Lord, we pray that Your gospel, the good news that Jesus is our Savior, and that through Him and through Him alone, we can be saved from our sins and have a relationship with You. I pray that that message would penetrate hearts and continue with folks and continue to do its work. So thank You, Lord, for our Christmas celebration, both our kids' musical and our Christmas Eve service. Father, we also want to lift up those in our body who are traveling and are still with family or simply exhausted this morning. We pray that You would be close to them and they would experience Your presence in a very special way this morning. And we also pray for those in our body who are not feeling well, and as representative of that, we want to lift up our brother Russ. We pray that You would just help him get over this flu bug quickly and restore him to health. And Lord, I know he loves being here as much as he can be, and so we just pray that You would bring him back to us quickly. Father, we also just pray that You would open our hearts now. Lord, as we are taking a deep breath after Christmas and looking to a new year, Father, I pray that we would meet You here this morning, right at this crossroads of holidays and activities. Lord, just slow us down here for a moment so that we can really hear from You and be transformed going into a new year. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 'tis the season of New Year's resolutions, right? I despise New Year's resolutions. I'm not a fan of them. If you are a fan of them, I apologize. Actually, I don't really apologize. I'm not a fan of them because they just don't seem to last. And that's not just me saying that. That's just cold, hard statistics. Just a year ago, U.S. News and World Report noted that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. 80%! That's absolutely horrible. Why would we want to engage in something that has a 20% success rate? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know, going into the spring, that's going to be the season where kids are taking all of their exams and, you know, SATs and all of that type of a thing. And you know, there's those test prep courses, right? Can you imagine those companies that offer those test prep companies saying, come take our class to prepare for this test. We have a 20% pass rate. Would you go there? No. You never would. So that's why I look at these New Year's resolutions that always fail and go, why do we go through this exercise? Well, the reason we go through this exercise every single year is that at some level, there are things in our lives that we want to change, right? If there was nothing in our lives that we wanted to change, we would not make these silly 80% fail resolutions. But there's something in us that we know is not where it should be, and we want to grow, and so we make these kind of New Year's resolutions. And of course, with our relationship with God, there's always room to grow, right? I mean, if you are here this morning and you say, you know what? God and I are tight, and I am as close to the Lord as I could possibly be, you are a liar. And therefore, you are not close to the Lord because you've just broken one of the Ten Commandments. So there is room for us to grow. And we know that. We inherently know that we want to grow. We want to change. And so we make these New Year's resolutions. So what do we do? Well, there is one New Year's resolution that actually has some benefit that we're going to look at this morning. And that is the New Year's resolution of spending more time in God's Word. And what we're going to see is God's Word has a lasting and powerful impact in our lives. But a lot of times we approach our resolution to spend more time in God's Word kind of like we do the rest of our New Year's resolutions. Or worse, we approach it kind of like taking bad-tasting medicine. Yeah, I know I got to read the Bible more and... oh, you know, just waking up early. And, you know, it becomes, you know, you've had that really nasty tasting medicine, right? You know, our kids love the Tylenol and then the ibuprofen because that stuff tastes great, right? I mean, it basically tastes like liquid sugar. But the cough medicine for kids, that doesn't taste so good. Our kids don't like that kind of medication. They would love for them to... they would actually prefer to have a fever rather than a cough because of the kind of medicine that they would get to take. But we often kind of approach God's Word like a bad-tasting cough medicine, don't we? I gotta read the Bible more. I gotta do this. And well, that's not very motivating, right? I don't know that you've ever been motivated to take cough medicine that doesn't taste good. So... what will motivate us? What will give us that motivation to go, this is something that is worth engaging in? Having more of God's Word in me is something that is really, really beneficial this year. Well, I want to share with you this morning two verses that I think will give us the spark that we need to spend more time in God's Word this year. And this comes from 2 Timothy 3. I'm sure you've probably heard these scriptures before if you've been around this church for any length of time. And Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy. And Timothy is a young pastor in what is now around modern-day Turkey, the west coast of that. And so Paul is writing to his young protege. He's encouraging him. 2 Timothy comes right before... the Apostle Paul was executed for his faith. And so Paul knows that this is kind of his last thing. So he's telling Timothy, this is what's most important to remember. Because after this, you ain't going to be hearing from me. So this is what's most important. And he shares some things, and then he gets to his final charge to his young protege. And what does he talk about? He talks about God's Word. And listen to what he says. He says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, this word God-breathed, it literally means God-spirited. The word for breath is the same for spirit in Greek. And so it is God-spirited. And so what we can say is that every word of the Bible is the Word of God. It is written by human authors, but it is divinely inspired so that every word that you read is not just some human thought. It is God's Word. This is the Word of God, which is just mind-blowing when you think of it. But it is not just the Word of God, it is also the work of God. Further on in verse 16, and all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the Bible is not just the Word of God, it is also the work of God. Right? And if you notice, in verse 17, it says, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. Notice that is passive. Right? We're not the ones equipping ourselves. So the Bible is not some tool that we use to improve ourselves. It's not something that we say, you know what, I'm going to take a few little nuggets from this and then pour that into myself and kind of make myself better. No, we are equipped. The Holy Spirit is the one equipping us. And it is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word that does that equipping in us. So God's Word is both the Word of God and the work of God. And so, very simply, if you get nothing more from this message, I hope you get more than this, but if you get nothing more, take this. If we want God to work in us this year, we need God's Word in us this year. Plain and simple. If we want God to work in us this year, we need God's Word in us this year, because the Bible is the Word of God and the work of God. Right? Lasting permanent change does not come through 80% failure rate New Year's resolutions, right? They just don't. Lasting permanent change comes through God's Word penetrating our hearts and working in us. Because the Bible is not just the Word of God, it is the work of God. So I have two goals for us this morning. One, we need to be convinced that this is really the Word of God and the work of God. Right? We can just say that, it's the work of God. But if we're going to be motivated to say this is critical to have more of God's Word in us for 2020 if we want to change, we need to really be convinced of that. And we need to see in Scripture that this really is God's work and God's Word. So that's my first goal, is for us to really see and know that if we want to grow this year, we need to have more of God's Word in us. And then the second goal that I have for us this morning is that we can look at some practical ways that we can have more of God's Word in us going into a new year. Because it's great to have this thing saying, the Bible is the Word of God and the work of God. Go and be blessed in 2020. And not give us any practical tips, tools, all of that to actually take in more of God's Word. Because otherwise, then it's just kind of like a New Year's resolution and we have no tangible way to actually take in more of God's Word. So, we want to be convinced that this really is critical for our growth and change this year. And we want some practical tools for getting there. Okay, so first, we need to be convinced. The Bible is both the Word of God and the work of God. So let's break that down a little bit. First, the Word of God. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John has this beautiful prologue. It is one of, you could just study it for ages and just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into it. It is beautifully written. It sums up everything John wants to accomplish in the entire Gospel of John. And John's first two verses say this, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or quite literally in the Greek, God was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. And so this Word, it's kind of a weird way it sounds a little foreign to English ears. But that word for Word, I know it's a little tongue twister right there, is the Greek word logos. Logos in ancient Greek and in the Roman Empire was the organizing principle that made sense of the whole world. Now theologians would probably kill me for saying this, but think of the Force in Star Wars. And that's kind of what logos is in the ancient world. This principle, this concept that holds everything together. And so what John is saying is that this logos is not some high philosophical principle. It's God. God is the one who makes sense of the world. God is the one who makes sense of all of the universe. In God, all things hold together. But John's not done. he goes farther. And he says in verse 14 in John chapter 1, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that's what we just celebrated this past week, right? The Word, God, becoming flesh, Jesus, and making his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what John is saying is that Jesus is the one who makes sense of the world, and that he's not just from God, but that he is God himself. And so this Word, the Bible, is what reveals the Word, Jesus, to us. The Word reveals the Word. The pinnacle of all of the Scriptures points to Jesus. All of the Old Testament points us to Jesus, and all of the New Testament explains Jesus. Jesus is the climax of everything written in this book. And so the Word points us to Jesus. And so if we want to get to know Jesus better this year, which I would imagine most, if not all of us, do want to grow closer to Jesus, right? I don't think any of you would come to church if you're thinking to yourself, I want to kind of move away from Jesus. You wouldn't be here this morning, right? Especially not after Christmas when we're all tired and all of that stuff. So if we want to get closer to Jesus, it's going to be through his Word. You know, some of you know this already, but I met Joanna on a camping trip, and it was organized by a friend of mine. And it was our San Diego friends and our Los Angeles friends, and we met on this camping trip in Yosemite. Beautiful place to meet, right? And what was, and I liked Joanna immediately, and I wanted to get to know her. So what did I do? I kind of hung out close to her. When we took a hike, I made sure I was kind of hiking close to her. And, you know, it's like, oh, how convenient, I'm right next to you. This is awesome, you know. And we talked. I wanted to know who she was. I wanted to hear her story. Right? But to get to know Joanna, I had to listen to her. I had to hear her speak. If we want to know Jesus, we have to hear his story. We have to hear him speak. I mean, imagine if you're on a first date and you say to the person sitting across from you, so tell me about yourself. And then they start talking about their life. They start sharing their life story. And then you just take out your phone and you just start scrolling through your news feed as they talk. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's interesting. You know, and then we're kind of pretending to listen, but clearly we're not listening because we're looking at our phone. But that's kind of what we do when we say we want to know Jesus more and we completely ignore God's Word. This is how we will grow closer to Jesus this year. This is the Word revealing the Word. So, but far too many Christians say, I want to grow closer to Jesus, but they're doing the spiritual equivalent of flipping through their newsfeed. This is how we can know our Savior. God, in his amazing mercy and grace, decided to record his words, and we have them written down for us. I mean, how awesome is that? There doesn't even have to be any awkward conversations of like, tell me about yourself. God has already told us about himself. We just have to know God. And the flip side of that is that if we do not know God's Word, we cannot really know Jesus. We can't have a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus that the Bible calls us to have. And I know that many of you want to have. God's Word is the key. The Word reveals the Word. And all Scripture is God-breathed. So if we want to know Jesus, if we want to grow closer to Jesus, we need to have the Word of God in us. Because the Bible is the Word of God. But the Bible is also the work of God. So we've seen the Bible truly is the Word of God. And if we want to know God, we need to have the Word in us. But the Bible is also the work of God. I think it's easy to approach the Bible and not look at it as the work of God. It's easy to approach the Bible and say, you know what, I need some nugget of wisdom. I need some inspiration. I need something to encourage me today. I need something to get me through today. And certainly God's Word does that, right? I there have been countless times where God's Word has inspired me. It has pushed me on. It has encouraged me to keep going. But God's Word is not just inspiration about God. It is the work of God. It is actually the tool that God uses to do His work in us. And I want us to see two ways that the Bible does God's work in us. These are just two. We could go on and on and on. But two ways. First, the Bible makes us wise for salvation. The Bible makes us wise for salvation. If we go back into our passage in 2 Timothy, we're in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, but if you go back one verse, you get to 15. And Timothy says, this is picking it up mid-sentence, Paul says to Timothy, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The God's Word makes us wise for salvation. How does it do that? Well, one, the Bible shows us our sin. The Bible shows us that we're separated from God and that we need a Savior. See, you could tell someone who's not a follower of Jesus, you could tell them those things, right? And I'm sure many of you probably have. You know what? We're sinners. We need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. But you know what's much more powerful? Show them in God's Word that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Because the Bible is very, very clear. And you know what? You just saying things is not going to carry a whole lot of power. But if God's Word is the work of God and it makes us wise for salvation, God's Word will show people that they are sinners desperately in need of a Savior so that they will not perish in judgment. Right? And if you want a place to start with that, look at the book of Romans. You know, there is a tool to share the gospel, the good news with someone, a friend of yours, is called the Romans Road. And you walk through the book of Romans and you see how we are created to be with God and how we've rebelled against God and how God provides a Savior. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeds. And it's this beautiful thing. All through the book of Romans, it makes us wise for salvation. But the Word, another way that it makes us wise for salvation is that the Word convicts us. The Word penetrates our hearts. You may have had times where you've heard a message and you just walk away going, that just got right here. It's not just a hear thing. Like, that just hit me right there. That's because the Word convicts. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." See, you can have a reasoned discussion with your friend about Jesus, but you cannot bring about conviction in your friend's life. You cannot convince anyone that they are a sinner. But God's Word can. It can get right to. Like, there is nothing else in this Word that penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's the power and the work of God's Word. So, the work of God is that it makes us wise for salvation. But, and here's the encouraging thing for someone who has already received Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible also brings about real, lasting life change. This does not just inspire us. It actually changes us. Listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." Do you see that action? God's Word refreshes us. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Do you see how God's word actually changes us? Not just a lesson from God's word, but God's word itself changes us, transforms us. Just in those two verses alone from Psalm 19, 7 and 8, God's word refreshes our soul, makes us wise, gives us joy, and gives us light to our eyes. It illuminates us. I mean, that is real, tangible life change. Right? We're looking for something practical, like I need to change. God's word tangibly and practically changes us. So the Bible is more than just a portrait of Jesus. It's more than just information about Jesus. And it's more than inspiration about Jesus. The Bible transforms us to be like Jesus. This is a transformational book. It is not just an informational book. It is a transformational book. But unfortunately, we far too often just look at this amazing book as information or inspiration and not transformation. Think of it this way. If you had a cancerous tumor inside of you, or some mass in your body that had to be taken out, and I know some of you have experienced that very personally, a scalpel does not inspire you to have it taken out. You can hold a scalpel and say, I wish my tumor was gone. Not going to do anything. But the scalpel in the hands of a surgeon, that will do the work of getting rid of that tumor, right? A scalpel is not inspiration. It is a tool that the surgeon needs to take the tumor out. And we can think of the Bible in the same way. The Bible does not just inspire us, it transforms us. It is the scalpel in the hands of our amazing surgical God. Back in last spring, Joanna and I were at a conference in Indianapolis, and one of the presenters there, he's the pastor who put together, just a little side note, he put together the material that our adult Sunday school is currently working through on Sunday mornings. And that was a breakout session. Joanna was at a different one. So I got to hear him speak, and he said this. He says, you know, where there has been genuine life change, this is a guy named Colin Smith, he says, where there has been genuine life change and growth, there has been a steady diet of the Word. If there is growth, there is the Word. You can't separate the two. You just can't. And in the same way, what you eat impacts your health. Right? You can say, I want to be really, really healthy, but if you are eating McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you are not going to be healthy. Right? What you eat has a direct correlation to how healthy you are. If you eat junk, you will be unhealthy. If you eat healthy food, you will be stronger. You will grow. You will change positively. And what is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. What we take in matters. If you want to go through an interesting little exercise, go through what you take in on any given day. Just think about what you take in terms of media and reading and articles and newsfeed and social media. What are you taking in? What you take in really does matter. And if this is the work of God, if we want God to work in us this coming year, we need more of God's word in us. So here's the thing. If you want to see change in your life this year, it does not start with your own self-effort. Change is not going to start by you wanting it more, wishing it more, resolving it more. Now, certainly we need to make an effort, right? I'm not saying effort is not important. God is not just going to zap change into us while we lay on the couch. However, if we're laying on the couch reading God's word, we are in a much better position to be transformed than if we're out there doing stuff on our own effort by ourselves. God's word is the key. And you know, one thing I hear a lot as a pastor with people who are frustrated is they say, well, I pray a lot. I talk to God a lot. I listen for His voice, but you know, nothing seems to change. The bad things are still bad and the hard things are still hard. And a lot of times what my response to that usually is, well, have you been able to spend any time in God's Word? And the answer is usually no. But if this is the work of God, if we want God to work in us this year, we need more of the Word in us this year. Now, that can be hard to hear, but this should also really encourage us, right? Because the reason we make New Year's resolutions is we want change. We want to grow. We want to see some kind of real lasting change in our lives. And now we have seen that this really is God's work in us. This produces, as God's Word works in us, it produces real, lasting, positive change. It makes us more like Jesus. God's Word, this is not some like magical saying, but this really does do God's work. And if we want to grow, we want to change, we should be encouraged that we have already been given what we need. God's Word. It is the Word of God and the work of God, which is awesome and amazing and should really encourage us as we go into a new year. And so think about the ways that you want God to work in your life this coming year. First of all, I hope every single one of you wants God to work in your life this coming year. Like I said earlier, if you think you and the Lord are tight and there's no room for growth, you're a liar and you clearly have room to grow. But if you really want God to work in these areas of growth that you've identified, put God's Word in you. The more that God's Word is in you and working through you, the more you are going to grow, the more you're going to change. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. I think a lot of times we just think that the Lord is somehow going to transform us. But this is the work of God. We need to have a steady diet of the Word in us. I mean, this makes us wise for salvation. This will make us more effective in our evangelism. If we are leaning on the Word and sharing the words and not just sharing our own thoughts, this will make a tangible, practical difference in our lives. So I hope that brings some convincing that these scriptures really are the Word of God and the work of God. Right? This book is critical for our growth, not just this coming year, but for every year for the rest of our lives. So then the question is, how do we get more of God's Word in us? So that brings us to our second goal, which is just some practical tools for how we can get God's Word into us so that God can do His work in us. So this comes from a tool from an organization called Navigators, and it's called the Word Hand. And if you want a visual way to do this, just take your hand and trace out your hand, kind of like a kid's project. I'm sure you did that many times when you were growing up. Mine always looked really weird. But I blame it on being left-handed because all of the scissors were for right-handed kids and I just couldn't cut it all. I know. You can have a pity party for me later. But trace out a hand. You don't have to cut it out, but just you can trace it on a piece of paper when you get home. And then start with the pinky and work your way up towards your thumb. Each one of these, each finger, well, and I must say each digit because my kids will remind me that the thumb is not a finger, it's a digit. So each digit is a different tool to get more of God's Word in us. And some of these things you're already doing. We just need to be a little more intentional about them. Okay, so five ways we can get more of God's Word in us with this Word hand. Number one, we can hear the Word. We can hear the Word. That's a foundational way that we hear. And Paul says this in Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. So, every Sunday that you come here, you will hear God's Word preached. You're not going to hear me give my opinions on life and politics as a foundation for a sermon. Because that's not what you need. That's not what I need. We need God's transforming word. And especially as we go into an election year, we do not need, you don't need to hear my thoughts on politics. And just as a word of warning, as we go into this election year, you know, you can hear the word from a variety of places here. If you miss a Sunday, you can hear the messages online. But there's any number of online preachers that you can listen to, right? TV, streaming, whatever. But just a word of caution, if those sources that you listen to are talking about politics more than the word, you don't want to be listening to them. Okay? If they're talking about more, if they're talking about which political party you should vote for than Jesus, you don't want to be listening to them. If someone is saying, here's how the scriptures say you should vote, you don't want to be listening to them. Now, does the Bible inform and shape how we think about issues in the world? Absolutely. You know, the Bible speaks to the sanctity of life. The Bible speaks to what our heart should be for those who are impoverished and needy. The Bible speaks to a lot of issues in our world today. Now, this is not to say that the Bible is not practical. It certainly is. But if someone is trying to use God's word as a voting guide, they've missed the point. Right? This is not to inform us how to vote. It's to point us to Jesus, not to a political party. So, just a side word of warning as you hear the word this year. And let me offer a good suggestion on a way to really hear God's word well. And I want to ask that we all do this as a church. Bring a Bible with you to church on Sundays. Like, we have the words up on the screen, and that's great to be able to, you know, to see it. But there is something transformative when you can read in the Bible, when you can open to a page and you can see that scripture for yourself. And you can hear it as it's being read. And then you can see where it is in your Bible, and then you can go back there during the week and you can process through more and you can go deeper with some of the other points on this word hand. But hear the word. And so can we get into the practice of bringing a Bible with us every week? And if you don't have a Bible, come talk to me. We'll get you a Bible. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start diving into the Gospel of Mark and digging through, you know, the verses and chapters there. And so bring a Bible with you, and you can look and actually see it. It's not just me saying, oh, this is what the word says. You can actually see it for yourself. So we can start doing that? Okay, good. Awesome. Good practice for 2020. So that's the pinky. Hear God's word. Here's number two. Read God's word. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So we can hear God's word, but we can also read it. And in Revelation it says, read aloud. Now, some people around you might think that's kind of weird if you read the word aloud, but there is something tangible about actually reading the word aloud than just reading it softly. It's comprehension just works a little more when we read out loud. And you can, one really great goal is to say, I want to read through the Bible in a year. I know some of you have done that. And if you want a really good tool, Paul Michael, awesome. If you want a really good tool, my favorite is the Read Scripture app. This is Paul Michael, again, awesome. Have you done it? Okay, we have firsthand testimony of how awesome the Read Scripture app. It's not just me. And it takes you through the Bible in a year. It takes you actually through the Psalms 2.5 times. And it uses the Psalms as a kind of a prayer to respond to what else you were reading in the Bible. But it also has videos from an organization called the Bible Project that explain each book of the Bible. Because, you know, you get into some of these Old Testament books, and it's a little obscure how it fits into the rest of the story about Jesus, right? Especially like minor prophets like Amos and Obadiah. I mean, if you don't know how it fits into the overarching story, it gets a little tedious, right? But the Read Scripture app has videos that say, here's how this book of the Bible fits into the whole story. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource, and I highly recommend you guys take advantage of it. So that's the second one. Hear, read, then the middle finger, hopefully not used in a derogatory way. The third digit is study. We can study God's Word, and we should study God's Word. Acts 17:11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." So Paul is preaching in Berea, and the Jews there, they said, and what Paul was preaching from was the Hebrew Scriptures, what we think of as the Old Testament. And he was using them to share Christ. And the Berean Jews said, you know what? I want to go do this for myself. I want to see what he's saying and study it for myself. And so they went and they studied it together, and they realized that Paul was right, that the Hebrew Scriptures really did point to Jesus. And because they had studied the Scriptures for themselves, they actually believed, their belief and their faith in what Paul said was much, much deeper. And I hope that all of us, if your intake of the Word is only what I'm sharing with you from God's Word on Sundays, it's not going to go very deep. And a great way to study God's Word is to study with other believers. It's so much more fun than studying by yourself. You can really go deeper with each other. You can apply God's Word with each other. You can hold each other accountable to challenges that God's Word gives you. Studying God's Word also with other people helps, because if you interpret the Word in a way that maybe God didn't intend, you know, we all kind of go off on our own little tangents, right? And we think God's Word means something that maybe it doesn't. If you're studying God's Word with other believers, they can go, yeah, that's nice, but let's think about this, right? We can kind of draw each other back to what the Word really says. Okay? And so if you are interested in joining a small group Bible study, come see me for a list of the Bible studies. There are home fellowships. There's a men's Bible study, women's Bible studies. You name it. Our church has it. So come see me, and we can get you plugged into one of those. Okay. So all of these first three things are pretty straightforward, right? Hear, read, study. Now we get to some things that are a little more difficult, but I would suggest are really, really, really critical. The fourth tool, memorize the Word. Psalm 119, verse 11, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Scripture memorization is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness before his public ministry, he doesn't have his Bible with him, right? He's by himself, and Satan is tempting him. And how does he respond? He responds with Scripture. Memorized Scripture. And that's the purpose, the point in the Psalms. "I've hidden your Word in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you, God." See, every day, every single day, you and I face temptations to sin. You and I face constant temptations to sin. To choose our way over God's way, or someone else's way over God's way. Right? You're not always going to have your Bible ready, you know, to go, well, let's see. Let's see what God says about this temptation here. Ezekiel doesn't have anything. Hosea, oh, that's about a prostitute. No, I don't think that's going to be it. Okay. But if we have memorized God's Word, we have that in our hearts, and we can respond, just as Jesus did, we can respond to the temptations that we face. Now, anytime I encourage someone to memorize Scripture, almost always the answer that I get is, "I can't memorize. I can't memorize. I can't memorize the Bible. It's too hard. I've tried. I can't do it." Wrong. It is not true. Because you have memorized all kinds of things in your life. You memorize things every day. You know, your favorite songs, favorite lines from movies, the menu at McDonald's. You've memorized a lot of things in your life. And so we memorize things all the time. simply the things that we're around the most. So yes, we can all memorize the Bible as well. And yes, it's going to be easier for some and more difficult for others. But again, if you're studying the Word together with other believers, it's great to be able to memorize the Scriptures together with other believers. It really is. I'm part of a group that meets on Wednesday mornings, and we're memorizing a psalm right now. And we're encouraging each other and challenging each other, and it's hard, but it's awesome. And just a great thing. And the reason we started memorizing Scripture together is that one of the guys in the group said, I just realized that my kids have memorized more of the Bible than I have. And that's wrong. I mean, it was like an affront to his manhood. And he was just saying, wait a minute. If my kids have memorized the Bible and I haven't, what kind of a spiritual role model am I? And so we're memorizing entire psalms together. It's great. And you don't have to bite off huge things. You can just start with a verse a week. You really can do a verse here and there and memorize that. And there's also a tool. It's called the Fighter Verses app. If memorization is hard, the Fighter Verses app has little games that you can play to kind of memorize, and it'll give you a verse, and then it'll start taking words away so that you can, you know, see if you remember it. I mean, it's kind of a fun way to memorize the Scriptures. Yes. Fighter Verses app on a smartphone or a tablet. Fighter Verses. So there was the Read Scripture app that I mentioned earlier, and then there's Fighter Verses, like, you know, I'm going to get into a fight with you. The Fighter Verses app. And just a really fun tool for memorizing God's Word. Here's finally the last thing, the thumb. Meditate. Meditate on God's Word. Why is meditation the thumb? Well, if you try to hold something without a thumb, you can get a grip on it, right? But not a very good grip. I mean, you can take that out pretty easily. But if your thumb is gripping God's Word, it's really, really hard to take God's Word out of your hand and out of your heart. I'm sure some of you would say, well, I can take it out of your hand. We don't need to get into a fight after this. But meditation really helps God's Word sink deep down where it really does its transforming work. And the Psalms even say that Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, listen to the power of God's Word working in someone meditating on the Word. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person, listen to this beautiful image. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Isn't that beautiful? And meditation on its own doesn't do a whole lot. You know, if you just kind of meditate, I'm meditating, it's not going to do a whole lot. But when you can do it with the other practices that we've just talked about, it's a great way to get a firm grasp on God's Word. You know, personally, what I've found is meditation on God's Word combined with memorization of God's Word. For me, lately, that has just been a real incredible blessing. Because as you're memorizing stuff, you're repeating things over and over, and then you can think about that and think about the impact of that and what that means, and it just goes deep, 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 deep down into your soul and transforms your life. So, hear the Word, read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, and meditate on the Word. Five wonderful, wonderful biblical ways that we can get God's Word into us. So I know that we want to see God work in us this year. I know we want to see God work in our church this coming year. Amen? And so if we want to see God at work in us, we need God's Word in us. There's no shortcut to it. There's no way around it. And I know that as we have God's Word penetrating deep into our heart, deep into our soul, God is going to do an amazing work in us as individuals and in us as a church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that this is Your Word. that you have given us your word. It is both the word of God, it is your word, and it is your work. Father, forgive us for only looking to these scriptures as an inspiration or a pick-me-up. Lord, your word is so much more than that. Your word gives us Jesus and helps us to know you, and it transforms our life. Father, I pray that we would just let your word sink deep into our heart and soul. Father, I pray that the words of the psalmist would resonate with every single one of us by the end of this year, this coming year, where the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law, how I love your word. I meditate on it day and night." Father, may that be the cry of our hearts by the end of this coming year. I know for many of us that might not be the cry of our heart now. But Lord, we ask that by the end of this year that we would be so in love with your word that that would just be the cry of our hearts day and night constantly. Lord, we ask that you would do a radical transforming work in us. You know the areas where we need to grow. You know us because you made us and you know everything. We can't hide from you, God. So you know the changes that we want to make. And we ask that as we take in your word and penetrate your word, Lord, would your word just accomplish your work in us and just be faithful to finish the task that you have begun in us. So thank you, Lord, for this word. And thank you in advance for the work that you're going to do in us in 2020. And thank you most of all for sending your son Jesus to die for us so we can have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for our closing benediction. And just a reminder afterwards, come take a card from the promise tree. Again, do not turn it over and look and go, "I like this one. I don't like this scripture." No, just take, see the card. Take a card, you know, don't be, I don't want to see any flipping here. But that's a great way to begin to have God's word. What a great way to start memorizing the scriptures. Let that verse be your first scripture that you memorize and let it sink deep into your heart and transform your life. And again, as the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law, Lord. I meditate on it day and night." Father, may that be the cry of our heart again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Happy New Year. And we'll see you guys in 2020, and we'll see you next week for Epiphany.